Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. It's Super Committee Countdown, the search for $1.2 trillion in deficit savings over the next 10 years, over the last week, and for the next 5 days until the Deficit Super Committee's Thanksgiving deadline. We're looking at one aspect of the negotiations each day. We've covered defense spending, corporate tax rates, entitlements, but today the news about the Super Committee has got us humming. Miles Davis, so what? So what? So what if the bipartisan group of 12 can't reach consensus? Democrats and Republicans in Congress are already lining up to play the blame game. So what if the so-called spending triggers go into effect? There's already talk of bills that would work around the triggers to preserve the defense budget and other things. So what if they actually do come up with something? None of this goes into effect until 2013 anyway, giving lawmakers a year to tweak the decision. And Robin Farzad, senior writer at Bloomberg Businessweek, is asking himself, so what, too? So what if this all falls apart? What's the effect, specifically, on the long-term financial stability of the U.S.? Are we headed for another downgrade? Are U.S. Treasury bonds at risk? Hey, Robin, welcome back to WNYC.
Brian, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you. So what about those U.S. Treasury holders, first of all? Should they be worried?
Well, I should tell you first, I want to break some news. I'm hearing that Olive Garden is about to test pilot a dish called Zuccotti Pork with unlimited salad and breadsticks. So just so your listeners get that out of
how
the way.
Long has it been, how long have you been working on that one?
I've been working on that. The guy was reading you a diatribe for like 30 minutes, and I was like, geez, what can I come up with? I have to listen to all that. But anyway, I feel for you this morning, man.
That's all right. Free speech.
No.
We're for free speech. Is there any indication that U.S. Treasury bondholders should be doing anything but singing So What this morning?
I mean, paradoxically, it's just the opposite. You would think that bond investors who are showing themselves as very willing to punish the governments of Italy and Greece by sending their yields higher just don't care about the mishigas on Capitol Hill. If anything, since our credit rating was downgraded, bond yields have plummeted and the price of these treasuries have gone up. I mean, you right now are giving Uncle Sam money and accepting 2% over 10 years. Over 30 years, 3%. Just to give you an idea, 30 years ago, bond yields were closer to 15%.
Is there any indication that investors are moving away from treasury bonds in anticipation?
No, it's a day-to-day thing. It's typically called risk on, risk off. On days where it seems like the world is going to fall apart, everybody piles into the safety of U.S. Treasuries, thereby sending our yields lower. On days when it seems like this risk is overrated, they sell bonds and they go into stocks and some other risky assets. But if all of this stuff across the pond persists and there's a global fear of contagion, what you're going to see is hundreds of billions of dollars, again, pile into U.S. treasuries and send our bond yields lower, precisely at a time when there isn't any unanimity over deficit cutting in Washington. So it's quite a paradox.
Any threat of another downgrade by the credit rating agencies, as happened after they had the debt ceiling debacle, even though there was an agreement at the end of that in August?
We're seeing murmurs out of Fitch, which is kind of the RC Cola of the big three, which is coming out and saying that, hey, we're not so sure that we're going to get much out of this super committee. And as you see the signs being sent up from both sides of the aisle that really not much is going to get done. But in the end, it was only going to be $1.2 trillion. It was almost a symbolic amount. And the bigger goal actually could be the expiration of the Bush tax cuts, which could potentially add $2.6 trillion in terms of revenue windfall. So none of this stuff is really clear cut. And again, the old bond vigilantes who used to punish the United States in periods of rampant inflation and government profligacy are just nowhere to be found.
During the debt ceiling negotiations, the market was extremely volatile. The Dow lost 2,000 points in 2 weeks. How's the market looking at this deadline?
The market's not really paying that much attention to it. The market is really fixated on what's going on in Europe. Are we going to see Italy, France, Spain priced out of their own bond markets, where really what you would think would be happening here is happening over there? And if those governments can't afford to pay their debts and keep the lights on, will the European Central Bank bail them out? But while all that happens, again, the readout of safety is the U.S. Treasury, and so people pile into it. So there isn't a clear cause effect here between the lack of action happening on Capitol Hill and what you're seeing in terms of bond yields. It's more a global flight to safety. And in that way, the United States is really kind of heads I win, tails you lose. No other country can boast that kind of effect on the world.
So our debt may or may not be significantly addressed by Congress, but people will continue to invest in our treasury bonds because we look less dysfunctional than Europe?
Amazingly so. That seems to be it. That's what the bond market is telling us. That's what bond investors are telling us. Otherwise, you would see bond investors fleeing treasuries, and the government would have to sweeten bond yields to get people to invest in these things. And if anything, since the summer when our credit rating was downgraded, Uncle Sam has to pay less and less. It's one of the more bizarre things that's happened in U.S. fiscal monetary history.
Earlier today on Morning Edition, NPR's John Itzty spoke with an investment manager, Hugh Lamdy of MD Sass, and here's a little of what he said.
Losing credibility is like breaking a glass. You can't put it back together again very easily. And the markets depend upon an assurance that when treasury bonds and bills come due, they will be able to be paid.
So losing credibility is like breaking glass. That's an interesting quote. You can't put it together again. So despite their best efforts, a 9% approval rating for Congress, a downgrade, Congress still can't find a way to shake investors' faith in long-term bonds.
It's amazing. I mean, what do you have to do to smoke people out of long-term bonds? Even Ben Bernanke himself, who has been conjuring money out of thin air, effectively printing money to buy money and keep interest rates low, he can't seem to smoke people out of these securities. Everybody seems to be conspiring, either willingly or unknowingly, to get people out of treasuries, and it's a global fixation. The Chinese want to be heavily invested in our treasuries to keep their currency low. You have global investors not really having another readout of safety as proven, as consistently honest, really, as the treasury bonds. And for that very reason, we're paying nothing on our debt.
So will there be some kind of other major negative effect if the super committee doesn't succeed by the Thanksgiving deadline? We've been talking mostly about bond values. Should we in general be shrugging our shoulders and singing, so what?
No, not necessarily, because if the super committee takes its eyes off the recessionary ball and just cuts for the sake of cutting or allows the default cuts to take place, that could be worse for an economy that desperately needs jobs. You just have these heavy cuts taking place for a rather nominal gain in budgetary soundness. So it's almost a Pyrrhic victory.
Robin Farzad from Bloomberg Businessweek. First time you've ever been accompanied by Miles Davis in a business analysis?
Yes, indeed. It's a huge day for mankind.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Brian. Have a good weekend.
Our Super Committee Countdown continues on Monday with MSNBC's Chris Matthews. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We continue in a minute looking at how much Mayor Bloomberg has privatized city services during his 2.5 terms, and for better or for worse. Stay with us.